Hi, thanks for visiting Bethel's website. I pray that God will fill your heart with faith, hope, and love as you listen to the message. So our scripture today is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 again. Earlier in the service, we watched that video, "For You Are My God." And I want us to be reminded for a moment what potential and power there is in that reality. Actually, in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I thank God for His presence. I thank God for His power. Thank God for His love, His mercy, His grace. I thank God for Him being present with us in our times of need. So the big idea this morning again, God help us to not forget you, to forget Him. And so let's take a look. Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5. "Praise the Lord, my soul." That's what we've been doing this morning. "All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." God help us to not forget you. Let me just take a few moments and just really be as honest and as real as I think I can be right now. People do forget God. And people choose to live as if there is no God. That's a reality. Think about how that happens day in and day out. People do not read His book. People do not talk to Him in prayer. People do not worship Him privately or collectively. People do not serve Him. There's other things they want to do with their time and their money. People do not tell others about Him. And people do not give up their sin for Him. And maybe the thought has already crossed your mind. Well, we get to choose, and that's our right. True. But I know when I read God's Word, you talk about an attitude adjustment. You talk about a realignment of understanding. I'll read for a moment out of Psalm chapter 36, verses 1 through 4. "I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. The words of their mouths are wicked and deceitful. They fail to act wisely or do good. Even on their beds, they plot evil. They commit themselves to a sinful course and do not reject what is wrong." Our world is being turned upside down in every way imaginable. And honestly, it breaks my heart that people aren't turning to God. We may be sitting here this morning and saying, "Well, that relates or applies to everybody else. It doesn't apply to me." But I would caution us about thinking that way. Years ago, I became familiar with this man, D.A. Carson. I've read some of his writings, and they've always been thought-provoking and inspiring. He's a prominent evangelical scholar and author. He's one of the co-founders of the Gospel Coalition. He's literally Emeritus Professor of New Testament Studies at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. I think my favorite quote from him is the one that's going to be up on the screen. And I want to bring it to our attention this morning because there is a need for us to really ask ourselves, how mindful am I of God? How forgetful am I toward God? He writes, "People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord." Just look at those words for a moment. I just want to be the first to say, thank God for that grace-given effort that He generates inside of us. Thank God that He cares enough about His children that when we start slipping and sliding too much, He's going to start getting our attention. He's going to start correcting us through His Word and by our circumstances. He goes on and he says, "We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godliness and convince ourselves we have been liberated." Do you know what often changes us from letting that happen in our lives? We hear someone sing and lead us in holy, holy, holy. We come away from the craziness of this world to gather in His name. And we get reminded as we pray, so God help us. God help us to not forget You. And last week I started on kind of this list, and I'm curious to see how God's going to walk me forward. But reasons for us to praise God and not to forget Him. Let me talk again briefly about the one I mentioned last week. It's found in verse 3. He is the one who forgives us of our sins. If there was no other reason I could cite, that should be more than enough. More than enough. Luis Palau. Some of you may be familiar with the name. He was speaking. This was a number of years ago, and he was down in Guatemala. And he's such an amazing and gifted speaker. When his message had concluded, one of the men in the audience came up to him, and literally, that man was visibly upset. And God had used that service he was in to open his heart, to break his heart even more. And this man, he just started talking to Luis, and he just started telling his story, how he had dishonored God in his life, how he had dishonored His name. And when we come to those realities, I think maybe one of the words that describe that man, which also describes us in those moments, we're downcast. It's like there's a gloominess, even a desperation that begins to settle in. But as Luis kept listening to this man, what he realized was, this man, he was truly heartbroken. And this man had repented. He had taken his sin seriously, and he had went before God with it. But this man was locked into a situation spiritually where there was no joy, there was no relief, and it broke Luis's heart. And as he continued to listen to that man and he looked at that man, he realized if this man does not understand that God is a forgiving God, although he's doing the right things, if he doesn't come to that truth, and if he doesn't personalize that in his life, that man is going to leave the door open for Satan to have a sinister grip on his life in a very destructive foothold in his life. Luis, at that point, he had never done this before. At least that's his testimony. He just reached out and he put his arm around that man. And this is what he said. Brother, you've repented. Your sins are forgiven. Let me pray with you. And I've never read a recording of what that prayer is. I've never seen it in text. But what I do know, when Luis stopped praying, everything inside that Guatemalan man changed. And this is what he said. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now I am free. That's what forgiveness does. That's what the devil doesn't want us to claim. God's forgiveness is real. When I was reading that story again this week, the way it ended really touched my heart. Because Luis went on to say, when someone is obviously heartbroken and repentant, the church, the body of believers, the brothers and sisters in Christ, they must stand up and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, rejoice. He has forgiven you, and we forgive you too. I think all of us have had those experiences where we went astray. And the people who could have helped us the most, the people who could have pointed us in the right direction, the people who could have given us the most affirmation when we turn back to God, those were the people who were still staring at us suspiciously. Those were the people who were still doing the devil's business. They were reminding us of our sins. They were the people that weren't stepping forward to remind us and to tell us, God has forgiven you. He has a new and a different and a better path for you. It's one of the things that I've appreciated so much about Bethel. God's helped us to not be a group of people that get on our high horse too much. He's helping us to understand what Micah tells us. What does God require of us? To act justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with our God. Look at a few verses. They're on the screen. Just to reinforce this thought before I move on. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Hold on to that. You're either going to need that verse in your life at one time or another, or you're going to be talking with someone, and this is the way that you show them forward. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's something that, unfortunately, most of the churches I've been in, we don't excel at that. We're pretty good at pretending. We're pretty good at faking it until we make it, so to speak. But sometimes, folks, God's telling us, let's be honest, let's be real. You're struggling. So find someone you can confide in. Find someone you can trust to keep your confidence. And just be honest and real. And let another brother or sister come alongside you and pray that God will give you the victory. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. It's a process. The work has been done on the cross. The process stretches from now into the eternal state. So let's go back to the reasons. Reasons to praise God and not to forget him. One, he forgives our sin. Two, he heals all your diseases. This is what I want to finish up with. Let me tell you what God wants for us, okay? Hope you can get excited about this. God wants his people. And if you're one of his people, can you get that hand up a little bit again? Yeah. Maybe you can do both hands. And I think if I'd say, and anybody inclined to maybe take a lap in an aisle, Bill's thumb is up. Okay, sell down, Bill. But we forget this. God wants us to thrive in his kingdom. And here are some of the ways that this can look in our lives. Enjoy the simple things. Slow it down. Throw some junk and stuff out. Enjoy the simple things. Make precious memories. Build healthy relationships. That means us getting healthier and us helping others to get healthy. Pursue worthy goals. Some people are chasing after the wrong thing. Forgive others and forgive yourself. Relax more. Stress less. Trust him more. Love God more completely and more sincerely. Love your neighbor as yourself. I could just keep building out that list. But I think even by just mentioning those things, sometimes we are just kind of confronted with the fact, I am settling for so much less than what God would want me to have. And so we come back to him. Let me take this in a different direction. This is also what God knows. Chronic pain, frequent illness, and terminal diseases are part of life in a fallen world. All three of those things that I've just mentioned, I personally know people that are living those realities right now. It's not because of sin in their life. It's not because God is punishing them. We live in a fallen world. Take a look at Psalm 90 and verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. When I added that verse into these notes, several thoughts just started flooding my mind. We take so much for granted, don't we? Do you remember when you didn't have the chronic pain? Do you remember when you weren't getting sick as much as you are now? Do you remember when the idea of maybe a terminal disease never crossed your mind? We take so much for granted. We seldom think about our own mortality. And we often don't value the time we have enough to use it for eternal purposes. There's just a whole sermon all in that, isn't it? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So let's go back to this idea that is so true. God heals all our diseases. Can God heal? Yes. He's done it before. He can do it now. He will do it again. One of his names in the Old Testament, Jehovah Rapha, comes from a couple of Hebrew words. Put it all together, combine them, and one of the meanings, God who heals. Throughout the Bible, his tremendous healing power is revealed over and over and over again. I'll give you a short list and give you some verses. Number one, God heals sickness and infirmity. Look at Psalm 41 and verse 3. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from their bed of illness. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for God. Whether God chooses to heal directly or indirectly through others, all healing comes from Him. God heals spiritual fatigue. You'll recognize this verse, Psalm 23 and verse 3. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His namesake. That's like fresh wind and fresh fire in our bones. I love the admonition, don't grow weary in well-doing. We do, don't we? What's the remedy for that? He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path. There's not going to be divine refreshment going down the wrong path. He guides me along the right path for His namesake. We're getting outside of ourselves. It isn't about me anymore. It's about Him. Here's another one. God heals emotional suffering. Some of the greatest pain we feel can be mental and emotional. I am so thankful that we're living in a time now where that's being acknowledged as being true. In the past, emotional problems, any difficulties mentally, you know what the therapeutic admonition was? Get over it. Get over it. When pharmaceutical drugs started coming out that were effective, and they were being developed back in the 50s, 1950s. Christians attacked that and called their godliness into question. And that still happens, unfortunately, some today. But some of my best friends have been benefited tremendously by medication. And one of the men that I have the utmost respect for in ministry, I was having a conversation with him about these kind of things one day. And he just simply looked at me and said, "Thank God for Prozac." Because I had walked alongside him before he got medication. And I knew where he was and I knew what he was suffering. And he had tried other drugs and they had not worked. And that's the challenge, even with that. But Prozac happened to be the one that worked for him. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He does that in so many ways. Does God always heal? Not in the way that we expect. No. We know this, so just a quick little lesson. When God created all of this, perfect and good. Think about it. No sin, no sickness. You say, "I'm so angry at Adam and Eve. They messed it up for all of us." You know what? It could have been me and you, and I think the odds are we'd have messed it up for everybody else, okay? So I'm not beating on Adam and Eve today, not at all. But what I can tell you is through their choices, they did introduce sin into mankind. And since the fall, what's happened? All of mankind, we are plagued with heartache and evil. It's our struggle, it's our battle. But I want to tell you again, God's plan is to redeem. Four things: good health throughout life, is not promised to anyone. Second, we should pray and ask God to heal us when we are sick. How many of you have a testimony to that effect? Yes. Keep in mind as we process what God does in our lives, what we hear and see Him do in others, and what doesn't seem to work out the way we thought it would or should, healing is always according to His mercy and His will. Please don't overlook that. And then listen to this. This is four. The results should always be left up to God, and we should always believe that what He decides is best. You say, are we going to understand it? Oh, no. Oh, no. But I want to give you this other big thought. It's going to start out kind of ugly, okay? But it does get better, let me promise you. Sin, sickness, disease, and death, that's the ugly part, will remain part of our normal human experience until God makes all things right. We don't know what course He set us on. We don't know what our future holds. But what we do know is that God is sovereign, He is in control, and He has told us already, one day He will make all things right. Look at how it's spelled out in Scripture. And I may have to get up in a moment. Seriously. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 26. Then the end will come when He hands over the kingdom to God, the Father. After he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. It's going to happen. It's not happened yet. In that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 and 54, for the perishable, that's this, must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. It is coming. It's going to happen. That's the hope for all of us who believe in Christ. So check out Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, and y'all think I get loud sometimes. Look, see that exclamation point? I just want to stand up and start shouting right now. I could just say, look, look, and just go on, look. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. This is the old order of things. Thank God there's a new day coming. There is a new day coming. I'm just getting started. Help me, Jesus. Okay, and I'm saying that for Sheila and Kelly with the slides because I'm just going to do a quantum leap right now. Last Sunday, I had preached the message and Kelly came up to me after church. And he said, I got to tell you a story. He started telling me this story. And when he did, I just, wow. And so I asked him, I said, Kelly, can you write this out for me so I can use it in a sermon? And he said, yes. So I want you to see Mama Pounds. Okay? Ask him yesterday. He had sent me the email on Friday and asked him yesterday when we finished up lawn. I said, can you send me a picture? And he did. And let me just read this email in closing. Hello, preacher. Sorry it took so long to get this to you. It has been a busy week. I just wanted to follow up with the story that I shared with you. My grandma was an amazing lady. She had 5 kids, 3 girls, 2 boys. My mom was the oldest. She ended up having 10 grandkids, and I lost count on the number of great-grandkids. We called her Mama Pounds. Her last name was Pounds. Okay? She was a woman of tremendous faith and conviction. She had a vast biblical knowledge and strong faith until she had a stroke. That changed her life dramatically. I still remember how she couldn't feel things on the left side of her body many years later. That brings me to the story that I was telling you about. In the hospital, when she was recovering from her stroke, she could hardly remember anything. She didn't recognize people in the room. She didn't know what town she was in or her address. However, with all this loss, with her memory and health failing her, she could still remember one of her favorite Bible verses. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Yes. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Kelly goes on. I thought of this immediately when you started your message on remembering God first. Although much of her memory failed her, she still remembered God and His Word. One thing I did not think to share with you is the significance of this verse in her life at the time. She had recovered enough to come home from the hospital, but still struggled. 2 or 3 days after she had returned home, her 2 youngest sons, my Uncle Donnie and Uncle Kyle, died in a horrible car crash. I can't even begin to imagine how difficult this was for her. The health issues alone were devastating, but adding on to that the loss of her 2 sons, it's unimaginable. It was obviously something that rocked the whole family. My grandfather ended up retiring early to stay home with her after this. It was just so much. But what my Mama Pounds did have to help her through this was what she remembered when she could remember nothing else. She had hope. She had hope that could lift her on eagle's wings. Even when life had given her the worst, she remembered God first. Isaiah 40:31 was read at her funeral about 5 years ago. It was a great reminder to me of a life dedicated to remembering God first. I know that I will not forget that verse as long as I have my left arm. Kelly, would you hold it up? He came in, the whole verse is right there. I know that I will not forget that verse as long as I have my left arm. But I am working to have this knowledge and faith about everything else in my heart and mind. And he closed out his email with this. I hope this helps. Kelly, I have a verse for you. You may want to write it on your other arm. Here's the verse. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not forget your word. We walk by faith and not by sight. But if we'll let God just take our hand, and if we'll just simply say, wherever you lead, I will follow. You have no idea how awesome God's going to be in your life and how much you'll discover how much He is for you. So, Nikki, come on up. God, help us to not forget you. And I took part of the prayer that I had written and was on the screen last Sunday and modified it a little bit, and I want you to just take a look. Dear God, I believe Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose from the grave. I accept Jesus as my Savior and forgiver. I trust in Jesus as my shepherd and friend. Help me to not forget you. Help me to love you with all my heart. Help me to praise you every day. Help me to put you first every day. Help me to live for you every day until you call me home. Thanks again for listening in. 3 John verse 2 reads, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Please let me know if you have questions you would like to ask or a prayer request you want to share. You can email me at bethel4420@gmail.com. God bless.